Hello and welcome to Talking Baseball. Another great week of games. How about that? The Indians, Jake, they're catching up on the Twins. The Mets magic rolls on. New York sports teams in general just can't lose right now. You know, Central had some stuff go on. A lot of stuff. Let's do it. Let's talk some baseball.
Talking baseball.
All right. There you go. I think we're good on the YouTube machine. I think we're definitely good on the podcast app because that's post-edited. But here we are. We're live, Jake. It's Talking Baseball, Friday episode. How are you doing?
Doing well, James. Happy Friday to you. A fun week of baseball. I know you and I have a couple good things circled for this freakend as well, baseball-wise. But yeah, man, we had a couple kind of... We had a couple unique series. I think that's an interesting way to label them, like Minnesota and the Braves. You're not going to see that a lot, but that's kind of fun. If you like destruction, the Yanks and the O's was, I don't even know if that was baseball. And we had a lot of good stuff around the league. We had some big-time performances. I'm doing all right, man. You know?
Yeah, that's good. You're doing all right. Your hair looks nice.
When do the dog days happen? Are the dog days late August?
I think the dog days are July and August.
Right.
I haven't had, but I love baseball, so like the dog days never like are bad for me.
Okay.
I think those were football fans, like other sports fans, consider August and July the dog days of sports because they don't enjoy baseball much. I've never really found myself like, damn, only baseball's on. That's why I host
a show
called...
Yeah, but I think it's
called...
a baseball term, too, for the teams. Like, I think...
For
baseball teams, it's like mid to late August. It's like, it's been hot for a while. We've been playing baseball every day for 3 months.
Oh, my God. If you are... Like, let's look at some of the series right now. If you are... I can't find one. Wow, that's pretty cool. Okay, here we go. Padres Mariners.
Yeah.
They got a lot of young guys on the Padres, so they're probably still excited to be playing. Right. Red Sox Royals.
Yeah.
We're talking dog days there. They just straight up canceled the game. They're like, we don't care. Nah, they're postponing it for weather, but that could have been a good joke.
Sure.
For players, it's beginning to be like the dog days, but
we're leaking into dog days. We saw the dog days leak in for the Orioles this weekend. We'll talk about that. How are you doing, Jimmer Fredette?
I'm good. I'm excited. It's been... I have some gripes. Not gripes. You're going to... Listeners that are new, that aren't coming over from Talking Yanks, that are new Talking Baseball listeners, are probably going to find some opinions that I have that they disagree with or whatever, because I know you and I are on opposites. Interleague play sucks. All these interleague series this week, there's too many of them. Get them done at the beginning of the season. I can't stand these two-game interleague series. I'm over it. I think it's bad. Give me three-game sets, four-game sets. Every week right now, like the A's are just going around playing two games versus everyone. It's three games versus the Cubs, but Padres, Mariners, two games. Reds, Angels, two games. There's all these two-games interleague sets. I don't like them.
Yeah, and this was not in our game plan, which we will post for our Patreons, which we'll talk about that in a minute. Yeah, I'm totally different. It's something that I think MLB... Well, A, we need to get the universal DH, so it's less... Because like we talked about with Oakland, like they're jumping around. They're playing home and road games versus NL teams. That's kind of brutal just to change that mentality as a team. For me, it's the NBA, and I was talking about this yesterday, and we talked about it a couple episodes back with Albert Pujols. He made his first return to St. Louis this year. They gave him a standing ovation every at-bat. It was 8 years, and I just think, okay, so if you use that formula that there's going to be some towns that don't see a major league star for 8 years, that's sinful. Like, if you're a Colorado Rockies fan, you could go without seeing Mookie Betts or Aaron Judge for 8 years. I just think that's terrible for the game. So I think they need to juggle the schedule more. I think when they get the universal DH, it'll be a little easier. The two gamers, they are what they are. I think those are easy for working in off days. So I think that's why teams like the two gamers.
Well, it's also because, you play your, like, the Yankees we'll go through each division. You know, one year you go through the NL West, which is what the NL West and the AL East are playing. And then, you know, sometimes the AL East will play the NL Central. It rotates. But you always play certain teams, like the Yankees always play the Mets, and it's always a 2-2. And I think they thought that was going to be fun. I don't like it. I'd rather – baseball's a game of series. In two games, it's so easy to be like, well, it's just two games.
Universal DH, lower some of the in-division games, roll it.
Well, you got to – we're not on a – we're not – this isn't talking Yanks. We're not on an American League podcast. Like, probably lost a lot of people that like the – like pitchers hitting on this podcast, this audience.
Oh, the I think that – no, that's a national stance. It's I mean, there's still people that want the pitcher hitting, but it's going. I mean, I think 2021 or 2022, it's gone.
Yeah.
So it's all right. There's some fun. I don't get me wrong. I get it. When that pitcher, you know, 11% of the time gets the base hit in that situation, yeah, it's a good time. But yeah, that's we don't need to get on the soapbox for that right now.
Okay. All right. Well, you want to just get into the National League and American League report then?
I think so. I just want to know who would be bringing us this episode before we go there.
That's
what
a great,
I would say.
That's a great call, Jake. It's a great call. It's a good thing I have the notes in front of me that I'm just avoiding.
Yes.
This episode of Talking Baseball is brought to you by a gang of awesome people. Javier Vives Gimeno.
Yeah, that's a could be Gimeno. I don't know. That's a fun name.
Someone gave us, I send this to you, someone gave us a less than stellar review. Not five stars. And they said, why do they think it's funny to mispronounce names?
Yeah.
Just want to let anyone else that might be thinking that, we don't, and we apologize. Yeah. I try my hardest to get every single name correct. There's a lot of names out there.
It's not in our skill set. And this is something we will try to take over from our other podcast. When we have someone, we don't beg. We're not big beg for review guys. You know, we try to give giveaways and stuff like that. If we get, I mean, this was a 3-star review and they were like, sometimes they mispronounce names and we're like, come on, man. But, so if you'd like to, if you feel so obliged and you want to leave us a 5-star and maybe say, hey, they get, you know, they pronounce 70% of the names, right? Yeah, that's huge.
Huge batting average.
Best hitters ever.
You know how often I go to YouTube and like, how to pronounce this, and I listen to that robot go, Ryu, or whatever, a lot. Anyway, Barbie K. Barbie's talking Yanks, talking
She's
Yanks
OG.
Fan. She's an OG. I always get her home country wrong. It's, it's...
Don't, man. Oh.
Damn it. All right.
Dan Wells, Carly Quinones.
Quinones.
Van Pierzalowski, a little Polish, representing?
Yeah, Van. I lived in Chicago, and I lived in New Britain, Connecticut. That's number 1 and 2 on Polish communities in America. So who's more Polish, me or you, Pierzalowski?
Them. Jack Carr and Mark Padilla.
Ooh, that's a tough last name.
Hopefully not. Yeah, I know you're not a big Vicente Padilla fan.
No. Yeah. Tough. Hope he's not related.
Yeah.
Chase Penzick? Yeah. Gannon.
Gannon. One word.
Yeah. Mark Gessner? I think Mark Gessner signed up for Talking Yanks and Talking Baseball.
Gessner, I barely know her. Speaking of, Jordan Bonadonna. She's been around since early times.
Yeah, Bonadonna sounds more fun to me.
Bonadonna.
Greg Sells,
I bet.
Seashells by the seashore.
Has to be a salesman, right?
If you're... Does Greg have a sister named Sally? Because her life sucks. Sally sells?
Ooh. Yeah, you can't do that. That's child abuse.
Greg, name your daughter Sally. You won't.
Greg, reach out to us. Are you a salesman? Because you kind of have to be.
Justin Schoenhart.
Wow. He's always Schoenhart, man.
Oh, yeah. Thomas Nickens.
Nickens has been around, yep. Daniel Shirk.
Gilbert Arias.
Yep. Randy Salinas and Tanner.
Tanner, one name.
Right. Who are those people again, Jim?
Those are our most recent Patreon supporters. Jomboy Media, patreon.com/JomboyMedia. $2 a month, you get access to watch this live with us if you want. I have the chat open. I saw there's a couple people coming and going and watching, probably just on the background at work, but it is live on YouTube. And if you are watching live and you have some input, we will gladly take it. Someone helped us out with research last episode, which was very nice.
Yeah, it's very, again, those of us that don't know us from the way back, we're all about engagement and interaction. Our promise to you, we won't watch every game. So if you give us something good, there's a good chance it can get on the episode. I think last time we did the closers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bucci had our back doing some stat search for us. Anyway, so yeah, $2 a month. We give away 2 jerseys each month. I just did that raffle yesterday. Congrats to the July winners. And sign up now and you'll be in the August raffle. And once we get organized, I'm going to try and do more and more to the patrons if we can. All right.
Yeah,
there we go.
Sign up for Patreon. It's a little bit, helps us out. Jimmy, can you just please tell me what happened in National League Baseball this weekend?
I'd be glad to tell you, Jake.
Well, thank God, because if you didn't, it'd be a terrible show.
It would. We need some music. I need my soundboard back. Some The National League. The Mets beat up the Florida Marlins, Jake. A 4-game sweep. 4 games in 3 days. A doubleheader. The Mets magic, baby. They stole all San Francisco's magic and are using it on themselves. And the Mets fans, the most funny fan base to watch as an outsider, they're in. They're in, and I love it. The Brewers and the Pirates met up for a 3-game set, and the Brewers swept the Pirates, which I'm happy for because the Brewers are in a fun race. I want that race to be fun. Pirates are out of it. They're out of it. So good job by the Brewers. Reds and Angels met up for a 2-game set. Reds won both of those. Angels continue to slide away. Cubs and A's. This was a fun interleague set. 3 games in Chicago. Oh. Yeah, this 3 games. It's not interleague play. It's a 2-game series that I'm really against.
Okay.
2 games and interleague play just seems like, what are we doing? Exhibition. It seems
like we're making shit sandwiches.
Cubs and A's. Cubs win both. Win 2. They win the bookend games. Some blowouts in the last 2 games. Braves and Twins. We were kind of excited about this. Huge walk-off game 1. And then huge runs game 2 and 3. Minnesota is still doing Minnesota things, Jake. I don't know what's going on with the weather up there. But everything is just bam, bam, bam. Braves take 2 of 3, which is huge because the Twins are in a race. We'll get more to that in the American League report. Phillies and D-backs met up. Phillies lost. They're slip-sliding away as well. D-backs win 2 of 3. Nationals and Giants faced each other, and the Giants get swept by the Nats, officially ending their magic run. Giants made some moves. I believe they got rid of Panic. They got rid of our old friend Tyler Austin. They're kind of cleaning up, gearing up for the next stage of things. Cardinals and Dodgers met up, and the Dodgers swept them, which the Dodgers are good, but the Cardinals are trying to be good as well. And I think that might be a bit of a oh-fuck moment for Cardinals fans. Rockies and Astros had a 2-game set. Houston beat them because Houston's very good. Padres and Mariners split a 2-game set in a series that no one cares about and the points don't matter. There you have it.
Nice, Jim.
Standings-wise, Jake, Atlanta, 5.5 ahead. They took 2 out of 3, like I said, but Washington did sweep, so they did gain a game this week. They're 5.5 back in the division. Could that get close? Yeah. I'm actually interested now to see how many times those teams play each other. I will do that after I finish reading this. Cubs have a solid lead again, Jake. 3.5 up in their division, 4 up in the loss column. Milwaukee's behind them, and St. Louis got swept. They're now 4 games back. Nothing's really, like, done, but Cub, that thing is fluctuating every series. I mean, we saw 2-3 series ago, the Cubs and the Cardinals were tied. Then the Cardinals took the lead, and the Cubs take the lead back, and now they have a decent lead. It's crazy. And the Dodgers are 18 games up.
Yeah, ever since I gave my Jakey, like, yo, the Cubs got to stay up, because if they don't, I think things would get louder around them than the other teams. They've been cruising, man, and I think you might hear a little bit about their trade acquisition later, Nicky Castellanos. But yeah, good for the Cubs. They're separating a little bit. Jim, this record against teams greater than 500 stat, I think I'm starting to get into. And right now, I mean, it's Dodgers and Atlanta in the National League, man. The recurring theme of this show, and I feel like I haven't given them enough love, and I just say this sentence instead of giving them credit, is that the Braves have stood up to every test. Every week we expect to be like, oh, you know, the Nationals, the Phillies, hell, the Mets now are going to make up some ground. And they're not really. They go into Minnesota, into homer ball. They drop the first game on a kind of a badass walk-off by Miguel Sano. Big meat goes dead center, and they bounce back. They take the second two games. Right now in the NL, I mean, everyone's on the Dodgers, and that's obvious. I think it's right now the top tier would be Dodgers and Braves. I think they deserve to be lumped with them for now. And on that same note, as I mentioned the Dodgers and you mentioned the Cardinals, Jim, that series was brutal. the Cardinals had some chances. They couldn't come through. And then I think they had it was 1-0 into the ninth of one of those games. And then the Dodgers put up a 2-spot to win it. And that was game over. It felt like there was nothing St. Louis could do to beat these Dodgers, and they're spiraling a little bit. I think they're 2-8 in their last 10.
And there's some Cardinals players going cold.
Brr.
So I was watching the Braves Minnesota games a little bit.
Yeah,
and I'm not gonna be ashamed when I don't know a player. There's 25 guys on each team, so yeah. I wasn't too familiar with Mike Soroka.
Yeah.
Braves pitcher, babyface.
Yep.
So I got myself familiar, and I'm reading all about him and watching some highlights. 20 years old. He'd made his debut last year in May, but
when he was 20 years old.
What's that? When he was 20 years old. He's 22 years old right now, yeah.
22. Yeah. August 4th. Happy belated.
Anyway, but then he had inflammation or whatever. It went on the DL for a while. Anyway, he's back up. He pitched in the loss versus the Sano homer, but he had a great game.
Yeah.
So I was excited to get familiar with him because I was wondering like who's doing this for the Braves pitching wise. I know they got Keiko. I know they got some other names and stuff like that, but he's young looking.
Yeah, he is young. That's
when you type
his
name, he's Canadian too. When you type his name on Google, the autofill is age. It's like Mike Soroka, age.
Yeah,
if you want to know.
Yeah, so Jim, his strikeouts won't blow you away. If you're an ERA plus person, there's a little advanced stat for you. If you're an ERA plus, he's killing it there. Jim, he's not a huge strikeout guy. His strikeout per nine innings is 7.2. But what Big Iron Mike does, he keeps it in the yard. He's leading the National League 0.5 home runs per nine innings. So, I mean, for every nine innings, he's only giving up half a homer. That's pretty insane with what we've been seeing around baseball this year, the juice balls, etc. But, dude, if you could keep it in the park, yeah.
Well, his main pitch is a two-seamer that's like heavy sink.
Yeah.
And sinkers usually ground balls and not strikeouts. But it's an impressive pitch.
Yeah. But I don't know. Baseball, it almost went away from those sinker guys because all the analytics said, hey, oh, well, a strikeout is better than a ground ball out. And now someone like Mike Soroka, he might be the equivalent to the DJ LeMahieu's and the Michael Brantley's who are thriving because they can still hit high fastballs. That might be another rant for the offseason, but we'll go from there.
Looks, according to Baseball Reference, it's pronounced Soroka.
Soroka.
Michael John Graydon Soroka from Alberto Calendar, Canada.
Mike Soroka, huh? Yeah, okay, I like it in the Canadian accent. That works for me. Yeah. What else do we like in the National League, Jim? I mean, I don't know if we're doing... I don't know, are we doing major headlines, or are we just kind of clipping them as we go?
No, we'll do that after the American League report. Yeah, I don't know, man. The Mets are nuts. They're 12-1 in their last 13. Yeah.
That's, I mean, they're the team I was going to talk about as like a major headline because it's the Mets, baby. They're rolling.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we can do a little deeper dive into major headlines for the Mets.
The I guess the only thing... Oh, please.
Who else matters? That's what I'm trying to look at all these
that's
games.
Exactly what I was... That's the only thing I think we need to really circle up on was kind of the NL Central a little more. We touched upon the Cubs and St. Louis. I think the only team we kind of skipped is Milwaukee, who... I mean, they're on a 3-game win streak right now.
Yeah. No, that was a big series. Like, I'm not rooting against the Pirates, but I'm not yet rooting for bad teams to play spoiler. I'm rooting for all the teams that are in the race to just fucking keep winning. I want them to put the pedal down until the last week, all three of those teams. But the Cardinals are blowing it.
The other thing that's not a big storyline, but... is kind of interesting. The Phillies, man, they lose three. They're 4-6 in their last 10. I mean, they're tied with the Mets. There's a chance that the Phillies could finish fourth in the NL East. And they signed Bryce Harper, and this was supposed to be a young team going to the next level. I mean, there might be a serious yellow, orange, red flag going up in Philly right now because a couple bad series... I mean, if they were to drop under 500 or something like that, whoo!
I think Phillies fans have given up. I think they wanted the pennant, and now they don't have the pennant, and they're saying, "Well, we're not going to beat the Dodgers, so fuck this." So Eagle season, baby.
I've got kind of a fun game.
What's that?
So Cubs, Dodgers, Atlanta. We all kind of. Well, Dodgers is wrapped up. I just told you I'm falling in love with Atlanta. I think the East is done. The Cubs, do we think, are the heavy favorite in the Central now?
I don't know about a heavy, but favorite for sure.
Okay, favorite in the Central. And we're entertained by the Cubs. I guess, so the five kind of wild card teams right now, and sorry to all our Arizona fans, but it's tough to take you serious right now. Prove us wrong, and then we will. But Philly, the Mets, St. Louis, Milwaukee, and Washington. Just on pure teams you'd want to watch in the postseason, how would you rank those teams?
Teams I'd want to watch in the postseason?
Yeah, just personal, like just it. They'd be fun to see.
So it's Nationals, Brewers, Cardinals, Mets,
Philly. Yeah.
Nationals are number one.
Okay.
Because Scherzer's there. And watching that carries all the weight. Psycho Scherzer.
Okay.
And then I have opinions that I don't want to share.
Ooh, I like that.
I don't like watching baseball in Milwaukee Stadium.
Ooh.
Like just the aesthetic of televised games in that stadium don't do anything for my visual.
Damn.
Pleasing my visual eyes. So get them out of here. Okay. And then the Mets with DeGrom, like the Mets, if their pitching can perform in the playoffs, that would be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I think that's what's jumping out to me. It's the Mets.
Are you
the
East Coast bias?
I know, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, the two pitching staffs on the Mets and the Nationals, I mean, that would be pretty wild. Dude, the Mets and the Nats in a 1-game playoff, that would be intense.
Milwaukee would be fun. I like Yelich. I like a lot of guys on the team.
And that's what I would say, too. And Milwaukee kind of does it. They do playoff baseball fun, or I guess maybe that is our Yankees bias leaking in, because, I mean, they can go to that bullpen, and they can push Hader for 3 innings, and they can try Jeffress for 2, and they try, like, they're trying to do anything to win. It's not like, all right, Walker Buehler, go out there for 6 and twirl a kid. Like, Milwaukee's scrapping and clawing. So, okay, interesting.
All right, let's move on. What I wanted to look at that I said I was going to look up is how many times the Nationals and the Braves play each other. We did this last episode because the Twins and the Indians have like 10 games. They have 7. They only have 7 games, and it's a 4-game set in Atlanta. So if you're the Nationals, right now it's 5.5. That still puts it up to you, kind of. You'd like to get it under 4 before your 7 games against them take place. If you're a Nationals.
You gotta get, you got to get hot, and you have to assume they're lining up their pitching, and they're going to get Scherzer, Corbin, and Strasburg in as many games of those as they can. So
yeah,
that could be a lot of fun.
It could. But so the Braves' goal is to just keep it at like six or above seven before that series, which is likely. Yeah. It's a while away. It's September 5th, so but we'll keep an eye out for it. All right, Jake, let me know what happened in the American League, why don't you?
Jimmy, in the American League, your New York Yankees viscerally destroy the Baltimore Orioles. Just unfair. They break all sorts of different home run records with the usual suspects for the Yanks, Talkman, Urshela, and Higashioka, to name a few. Jim, the Rays versus the Jays in Tampa, and the baby Jays win the series. Couple strong pitching outings and the long ball. The Red Sox split a three-game set with the Royals. The final game was suspended due to weather in the top of the 10th. And Jimmy, I mentioned those Royals, and they'll bring us right into the AL Central. The Minnesota Twins, as you talked about, they lose the series at home to Hotlanta after that dramatic Miguel Sano walk-off in Game 1. Right on their tail, the Cleveland Indians. They do the reverse to the Walker Texas Rangers. They get shut out and lose Game 1, but they win both games of a doubleheader following that. AL Central is getting very tight-ish. The White Sox, they win 3 out of 4 in Detroit, and honestly, I don't really want to talk about that series. Sorry, maybe elevator talk. In the wild, wild west, you know the Rangers lost their series to the Windians. The Houston Astros win both games against my Colorado Rockies. Houston scores double digits in each game, so yeah, they can do that too, huh? That's good, great, grand, wonderful. The Oakland A's drop 2 out of 3 to the Cubbies in Wrigley. John told you about that. They lose game 1 by 1 run. The next 2 games were blowouts. And the Halos, they scored 4 runs in both their games against Cincinnati, Jim. Fortunately, Cincinnati scored more both games. They lose 2 more. And the Mariners split with the Fathers from San Diego, ending a 6-game losing streak.
They ended the losing streak.
Good job, guys. Good job, Mariners.
Good job. Good job. Good job. Yeah, so what stands out here for me is thank you to the Jays as a Yankee fan.
Yeah.
Thank you to the Jays for helping out. The Rays are now 11 games back in the AL East. And as a Yankees fan, that's nice. Sitting a little pretty. I like that. Lot of nothing in the AL right now. There's 3 wild card teams. So there's a lot of guys. The biggest thing is Cleveland and Minnesota.
Cleveland and Minnesota is going to be great. We obviously have the series coming up this weekend, and you know, spoiler, we do this on Friday. So Cleveland took game 1. So it's a 1-game lead for Minnesota right now. So that is exciting news in the AL. Yeah, Jim, I mean, it's going to be the AL Central, and right now it's Tampa and Oakland fighting for that final wild card spot. And Jim, we kind of got my parallels going between the Yankees and Tampa, Houston and Oakland again. Both teams kind of stretched out their lead, and those teams are fighting for the second wild card. It's going to be wild to see if Boston can play their way back in it. I mean, Boston is 5 back on those guys. And Chris Sale, again, it won't be talked about because it's the start of their next series. He twirled a gem yesterday. But can Boston really get it going? We don't think Texas can get hot enough. Maybe they can prove us wrong. The Angels are officially 10 games back of the second wild card. You guys are done. We're sorry. And there's a new Mike T emerging in baseball that we're going to talk about later. But, yeah, Jim, I mean, right now it's the NL Central. And it's can Boston play their way into that Oakland-Tampa Bay conversation for the second wild card?
Yeah, they don't play each other this season again. The Rays and the A's.
The Rays.
So it all depends on what they do themselves, you know, or what the other team does, which is kind of, I wish they had a series against each other. It'd be more fun. But I love Cleveland coming for Minnesota. Minnesota's been in the lead all season. And Cleveland's now saying, we can try. Yeah. And I know we're not supposed to talk about the next series, but it's 1 game. It's one game. They're facing each other, four-game set. I'm super interested in it. One game. I think that's a shot to Minnesota fans if they lose first place.
Definitely.
They've been sitting pretty.
And Cleveland, man, Jim, it's something that kind of got, I don't want to say missed in the Bauer trade, because I think Bauer was pretty well liked by the guys in Cleveland. I mean, he's an odd egg, but he was his own presence in the clubhouse. And out goes Bauer, in comes Yaya Puig with the energy and the ferocity of 10,000 men. And I don't know. I think it kind of stretched out their lineup. They believed in their pitching. That's why they were able to move Bauer. And right now, they're a team with great energy going on. So, I mean, Cleveland is coming. It will be interesting to see how Minnesota can fight them off. And again, both my new record against five teams with greater than 500 records. Minnesota is now 26-29 after the Braves series. Cleveland is 19-24. So these teams are going to be able to beat up against the bad teams in their division. It's basically, Jim, at this point, a one-game lead, it will be decided in how they play against each other. Like, that's kind of it.
Yeah, which is really fun. I was looking at the Red Sox lineup. They do have three games against, they play the Angels, who are sliding away. And then they have three games against Cleveland. Those would be tough at Cleveland. But then Baltimore, two against Philly, San Diego Padres, Colorado Rockies at Colorado, and then the Angels again. So that is a West Coast trip, but it's three losing teams.
Yeah.
So I was ready to count the Red Sox out from the wild card, but they could have a really good West Coast trip against the Padres, Rockies, and Angels, and maybe find themselves back into the thick of things, but we will see.
Yeah, I mean, and they, you know, there's a couple key pieces to the Red Sox that if they turn it on, I mean, those guys are special. Chris Sale is one of them, and I think it was 8 innings pitched, 13 Ks or 15 Ks, something like that. And he looked like that Randy Johnson Chris Sale that people are shy to compare him to because they pitch differently. And it's like, well, you know, that's still not a bad thing, guys. you can be okay with that comparison. We're saying nice things.
Yankees have a tough schedule. Oh, no, they don't. The Yankees, shit, we play Baltimore again? Four games against Toronto and then four games against Baltimore at home. Wow. But then Cleveland, Oakland, Dodgers. That'll be a tough stretch. For anyone listening, I know that Jake and I are Yankees fans. But I have to let you know how sad this series this past week against the Orioles was.
Yeah.
The Yankees hit five home runs in every game by guys that could be on the Orioles because the Yankees got them traded for cash considerations or traded relievers that no one wanted for them or just like little back-end moves. They're all our second-string guys, the Yankees' second-string guys. And Baltimore, so sad. And we can move a little into major storylines because I think that's who got mad, actually. Chris Davis.
Yeah, that's who got mad. I'd say the major storyline would be, I mean, what the Yankees did to the Orioles. I mean, they broke the most home runs at a visiting against an opponent ever in a season. They broke that record with more games to play, as you just mentioned, which is scary. I mean, it was just, It's kind of unfortunate timing for Baltimore, which is a great baseball city, but they have the worst pitching staff ever assembled, and the Yankees have figured out something in advanced stats and hitting where they're finding these guys and they're improving these guys, that it was just an absolute massacre. The Yankees are shattering. I think it was only the second time in Major League history that a team hit five-plus home runs in three straight games against the same opponent. There's all sorts of home run records were getting broken, and the story that's now kind of leaking through baseball Twitter is that it is these Yankee guys that no one knows. And Jim, I saw the first person say, I saw someone say the Yankees were cheating.
Oh, and nice.
Yeah. So the Yankees are cheaters. Brought to you by Talking Baseball.
That's great. That's like when people say Houston Astros, they just give the pitchers pine tar and cheat. Like I'd love to have that.
Right.
Yankees do for quadruple A hitters what Astros do for pitchers.
Yes.
So the number that was crazy is that the Yankees have hit more home runs in Camden Yards this season in like nine games than the San Francisco Giants have hit at their home ballpark in 60 games.
I think more than the Tigers, too. I think there's two teams up there.
Yeah.
And yeah, Jim, that's I'll do a mini little baseball rant on it, and it was tough, man, because you're right. You mentioned briefly that a lot of these guys could be on the Orioles. Mike Tauchman, who we're going to talk about more, he was a Rockies kind of quadruple A guy, never got his run. Yankees traded a minor league reliever for him, who's getting knocked around right now. Mike Tauchman's been one of the best players in baseball for over a month. So it's just one of these things, like Detroit and the Orioles. You know, my reach out to you guys is you got to figure something out. Like, I know you're rebuilding, and I know you got to, you know, it takes a while with baseball. You know, you have guys that could be 5 years down the line, but you could also take chances on guys. And it's kind of mind blowing that, you know, Renato Nunez is having a nice season. And this was talking Orioles. But outside of that, like, you guys should be, there's more chances and talent to be had out there. And again, I know the Yankees are doing something unique, so you can't do a perfect cross comparison, but I don't know, man. Like, give some guys chances. Bring up some young guys, but maybe take a chance on a 28-year-old AAA guy who's raking. Because maybe that guy's hungry, and maybe that'll ooze through the team. Maybe he's good, and you can trade him for something. So that's out of my system.
My favorite stat from the weekend is that the Orioles had more outfielders take balls to the face than they did wins.
Yeah, that was your analytics. You got into the analytics game this weekend.
I got pretty deep into the analytics, yeah.
That's good. And Jim, segueing us out of Yanks, the Field of Dreams announcement, that's pretty cool for baseball.
Yeah, it's cool. I was starting to think about it, and I was like, this is weird, because it's like, it's so fictionalized. I'm excited for it. I want to try and go. I think there's only 8,000, or there's not a lot of seats, so it's going to be so expensive, but it'd be cool if we can go and make some videos and cover it in a way. But my dude, Craig Calcaterra, was like, this is like nostalgia for something that never was real.
Right.
It's almost like how like people like make Quidditch games like to go play. It's like, that's from a movie. It's fake. Like, there was never baseball in Iowa. But
you
can make
anything real if you
this
want.
This is going to feel like Americana nostalgia, but like, it's not. It's completely manufactured, which is fine. I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be a really cool visual.
Yeah, you're going to end up in so many Field of Dreams fights in the next 12 months.
Oh, I already said my piece.
Yeah. Well, it's not going to stop. But yeah, I'm excited. I think you and I are going to end up out there, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun with that. So cool. 8,000 people watching baseball in Iowa. We did.
I'm way more for this than London. This is exactly what I said to you when they went to London. Like, Londoners do not care. You know where they need to spread the game? America. They need to get Americans excited for it. And now we go to the Midwest where there's no baseball. There's no professional baseball in Iowa. And you have a professional baseball game coming. That's granted, not a lot of people can go, but it's going to do great for that town's economy.
Yeah. So
it's almost like when the Rangers went to Mystery Alaska.
It's almost. Yeah, I don't know. The whole London thing, I mean, I think you're using business differently there, because, I mean, if they can grow baseball in London, that's a massive market. So that's what they're trying to do there.
They cannot.
I mean, they're going to try. Like, it's not going to stop. I'm telling you.
Well, yeah. That doesn't change my opinion. It's not going to work. Londoners do not care.
All right.
Yeah, it's just dumb. But enjoy the Cardinals and the Cubs next year.
There you go.
Maybe make Americans like your sport again, is what I would say. They're so
stupid. They already do. That's the problem. They just aren't tapping into it.
Yeah, they have so many problems. Anyway, I'm excited for that. I think it's going to be cool. Someone's like, it's not on the real stadium. It's not on the field from the movie. Well, of course not.
No.
That's a guy's backyard.
Yeah.
What do you think?
We're pushing our limits to get 8,000 in there.
They're going
to
play in front of no one? How could you be upset about that?
I mean, I would personally like that, but...
How many people, like, it's Yankees, White Sox. Do you think anyone's going to... Like, if Nick Swisher was there, he'd walk into... Oh, are they going to... I got to finish some thoughts here. Walk into the corn stalks and act like he's dying? But then I was thinking they're probably going to put a real fence out there. Which I think you can't. I think if you play this game, you can't have. It's got to be like the ivy and maybe like a baseboard, so like rollers don't go. Other than that, you got to make some ground rules and just have the cornfield. You got to be able to make a catch in the cornfields. They're gonna mess this up.
You know I'm a hot take guy, but I do think they're gonna put up a fence.
I do as well. I'm saying they should not.
Well.
How much cooler would it be if they didn't have a fence?
Not cooler. I'm not into the no fence.
You can make a catch into the cornfields.
Corn hurts, man. You ever run through corn?
Of course. I'm a huge corn maze guy.
You run through the corn.
Oh. I used to go hide in the corn and scare people. That was like my thing to do at the corn maze.
Still not running into corn.
Well, I mean, how does that not count? I know how hard corn is. I've been running and zigzagging in between corn.
Doesn't feel good.
Why have you run into corn before?
It's my favorite hobby.
Yeah, liar.
It's how I got tough.
You're not tough.
Ooh, I'll knock you out.
See, that's scared tactics. Zero toughness. Wasn't even scared.
Let's do it.
I can't. You're in Denver.
Set up a camera. I'll be there soon, baby girl.
It's funny that the Yankees go to all these things.
They're the Yankees.
I know. I wonder if Yankees players, like, they're always on Sunday Night Baseball. They get excited for these ones. Some points, like, yo, can you send another team to do this stuff?
Yeah, the Sunday Night Baseball stuff is tough because you're right. That's like a travel day and it's like recovery time. This stuff, I think, is fun. It's good publicity, blah, blah, blah. Jim, I think we do have to talk about the other team from New York, my man.
Mets, they're 12-1. 12-1 in their last 13. The Marlins are pretty bad, so like I'm not... If the Mets were trying and playing well, they should sweep the Marlins. But they're half game out of the wild card now, and if they make the wild card and if they win, they have the pitching staff to like really scare some opponents in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They are the Mets, so a collapse is very likely.
If history repeats itself, with it, which it tends to, you'd think the rug will come out at some point. As of now, it's awesome, man. I know you were cackling over there at Brody Van GM's speech, but right now you got to give it credit. Right now things are working.
Yeah, right. Even Alonso had a good game. And the fans are totally bought in, which winning will do that. But I still think like all the social media stuff is weird. Whatever. But here's the thing, Jake.
Right.
If we come out of this, so the test starts today, Friday, August 9th, because this is a great winning streak. But 4 games against the San Francisco Giants. Well, they lost 3 of those, so it didn't even count that. Okay. 3 games against the Padres, losing. Sweep of the Pittsburgh, losing. Sweep of the Chicago White Sox, losing team. 2 out of 3 from the Pittsburgh Pirates, losing team. Sweep of the Miami Marlins, losing team. So, there is a chance that in this next set, when they play Washington for 3, Atlanta for 3, Cleveland for 3, Atlanta for 3, Cubs for 3, that we come back and say... Might have been an ease of schedule type thing going on. There is a chance of that. I don't want to rule it out.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I got to speak for my Mets fans and tell you, hey, we're just playing who's on the schedule, buddy.
I'm a big fan of that. You got to play who's on the schedule.
Mets fans are coming into this like it's their time to shine, and maybe it is, or they could crash and burn pretty hard.
But they do not have the easiest rest of the way. Washington, Atlanta, Cleveland, Atlanta, Cubs, Washington. Dodgers, and then they end three against Atlanta, which may be easy because Atlanta may not be trying their hardest in the final games there. But we'll see, man. There's still a lot of teams clogged up. It's fun. They do have magic right now. I do have to put some grains of salt on it with the schedule, though, when I look at it, though.
Woo!
And then, Yamamoto took the loss.
My guy, Yami. And then, yeah, we had the AL Central down there, but we kind of talked about that, and my symmetry thing isn't really a storyline, so I don't know. Do we keep it moving?
Let's get on to some segments. Some standout performances.
Could you tell me your standout performance from this last series of baseball?
I had a lot of trouble finding a standout performance that I wanted. I was going to do just New York teams because the Mets and Yankees are 22-2 in their last 24.
East Coast bias.
Yeah, but I didn't. There was not many, no complete games thrown this week. There was one hitting performance that I was going to use, but you snagged it before I could, so you will get that. So what I did was I gave it to Zach Wheeler.
Yeah.
8 innings pitched, 0 earned runs, but what I like most about this is it came after the doubleheader, so you needed to give the bullpen a breather, because I believe 5 bullpen arms pitched the game before, the day before, in the 2 games. You need that. Wheeler's got 2 good outings in a row, and it's kind of on every Mets pitcher right now to keep this magic going. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You cannot go out there and give up 6 in the first two innings right now, or you blew it. You blew out the candles on this magic cake. But Wheeler did not. 8 innings pitched, 0 earned runs, comes after the doubleheader, saves the bullpen, gets the win. And with Stroman there now, it's, you know, DeGrom, Syndergaard, Stroman. Wheeler dropped down a second tier. He's not the third guy. I think Stroman kind of replaced him, but Wheeler's could be coming for that in name alone, in the way you'd talk about it. His stats may be there of late, because I know there's 2 good ones in a row. But good job by Zach Wheeler.
Yeah, he does have a couple good ones in a row. And it was funny because when they did the Stroman trade, everyone was like, oh, and hey, maybe Zach Wheeler could become a bullpen option. And if you're Zach Wheeler, you're heading into free agency this year. You're this big-time prospect. They trade for 5'7" Marcus Stroman, and you're going to be a bullpen guy now? So, yeah, he went 7-inning shutout last time, 8-inning shutout this time. Should be in Fuego. I guess he technically gets a better stage than in Fuego. He gets the standout performance. And, yeah, man, I know you and I were living in fear that he was going to go to the Astros because he is like the prototype for them to go to Houston and lead the league in strikeouts next year, which still might happen in free agency. But good for Zach, man, and good for the Mets. I'm happy for all our Mets fans.
Yeah. So Wheeler, last year he threw a lot of two-seamers, and he just dropped that this year. Or no, it was 2 years ago. And he's throwing a lot of four-seamers now, which is doing higher average velocity and better. It's funny when, like, hey, throw that good pitch more.
Yeah, the high fastball that's changing baseball.
He's got a really good mix. He throws his four-seamer 44% of the time, Jake. And then all of his other pitches, there's none more than 20. So, and there's a curveball, a split finger, a two-seamer, a slider. Those 4 pitches all land between 10 and 20%.
Well, and Jim, I'm looking at his game log right now, and I don't know, Wheeler's always been a guy that they've been like, he's never been able to fully figure it out. I don't know, man. If you look at Zach Wheeler's game logs, he's got 3 blow-ups, he's got 2 sixes and a 7. Outside of that, Jim, this guy is your kind of pitcher. He pretty much gives you he's given them a game every time except those 3 blow-up starts, which... Again, we might have to start looking at pitching a little differently because his ERA is down to 4.20.
you know, I already do. I don't like ERA for that reason.
Yeah,
I mean, but
maybe we have to make the John Boy starting pitching stat. I don't know if we want to call it the John Boy, but how many times you gave your team a chance?
Yeah, I don't like looking at ERA that much. It really, yeah. Like you look at 4.20 ERA, you think he's having a bad year or just not a good year.
A meh year, yeah.
A meh year. But then you look at the game log, and what I like to do is how many times, and this, like, I think people think of in terms of fantasy, and this fantasy baseball, and this isn't that good, but how many times was it 4 earned runs or less?
Yeah.
And how many times did he give up 5 or more? So 5 or more, I consider that you dug way too deep of a hole. You lost the game as a starting pitcher. You didn't win the game for him, but you lost the game. And it's 1, like you just said, it's 2, it's 4 times out of 22 starts. So in 18 of 22 starts, he's given them a performance that they can win on. Also, I like to think, how many times did he complete 5 innings? There's only 1 where he didn't. So he's not really... What's that?
Against the Yankees. It was against the Yankees. Well, and the Nats got him earlier this season, sorry.
It's not really killing the bullpen. And then how many times was it 3 or less? And we're looking at a lot of those. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 14 of 22. That could be higher. But again, he has not been burning the Mets. With his 4.20 ERA, would say, meh, he's been helping them a lot more than hurting them.
Yeah, and who's to even say, again, if you're a Mets fan, reach out to us. Everyone knows about the Mets' bullpen struggles. How many times did Zach Wheeler have to throw a couple extra bullets to try to get through it? How many times did those extra bullets hurt him? So that's interesting. Zach Wheeler, it sounds like my man's about to get paid in free agency if he has a couple more starts to end the year. Nice pick, Jim.
Thanks.
Really good pick.
Kind of handcuffed. I didn't really like anything, but I'll give it to Zach Wheeler. It's a good conversation.
Bet you're handcuffed. Jimmy, I'm going to do my standout performance if I have your blessing.
Go ahead. I was mad at you for snaking this from me, but good job by you.
Well, thank you. Jimmy, I am taking Yuli Gurriel. You'll remember him, well, on your Houston Astros, and you'll remember him from En Fuego a few episodes back. Maybe one of the first eps we dropped, Jim. Yuli Gurri. Jim, my guy... He went 2 for 4 with a run and a homer. That's a nice day. I'm talking about him, though, because he had 8 RBI, which is a Houston Astros record. Again, it was against my Colorado Rockies, which is tough, but it's still an amazing day. And Jimmy, by the way, the other game in the 2-game set with Colorado, he went 2 for 3 with 2 home runs and a stolen base. So... You know, if you're just a pure home run guy, you could have leaned the other game. But if you knock in 8 runs for a team, that's a good way to get the standout performance, Jim.
Yeah. And his brother just got hurt.
Yeah. Lourdes. And Jim,
so
the other thing.
To pick up the slack.
So he's playing for 2 right now. He's like a pregnant woman eats for 2.
Yeah.
Yuli's playing for 2. I like that. Jim. In Yuli Gurriel's first 61 games, first 61 games of the season. So 2+ months, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
253 batting average. 283 on base. Boo. 665 OPS. More boo. 4 home runs and 29 RBIs. So that's 61 games, Jim.
Uh-huh.
In the next 46 following, so think about it. There's people on Astros Twitter, Gurriel's done. We got to get this guy off the team. He's hurting us. He doesn't look right. I see something in his swing. He doesn't look right. Yuli Gurriel, after that, his next 46 games, so 15 games less, 357, 395 on base, a 1.136 OPS, with 19 homers and 52 RBIs. Yuli Gurriel had a good half of a... Yuli Gurriel had a great half of a season in 46 games following a bad first 61. And that's, I mean, that's baseball, Jim.
There it is. He's the only one... So I was looking at, just again, how the standouts were hard this week. I was looking at, like, people had good series, and we'll get to those in Fuego. But of all the people that had good series, no one had, like, crazy good games besides this Yuli Gurriel 8 RBI game.
Yeah, a few Yankees did, but it was against the Orioles, and I think we're going to address that in En Fuego.
Yep. All right. Moving on.
Moving on.
Slump Watch. Slump Watch. We got some updates for you. Jake, I wrote these down. I do not know your decision, but here we go. Merrill Kelly's been on slump watch. He had two games in a row with seven earned runs. Pitcher, four Diamondbacks. Six innings pitched, three earned runs, one home run. That's a quality start by definition.
Yeah, he's off.
He's off. Okay.
He's off. Yeah. Congrats, Merrill. Get out of here.
Bam. Okay. Next up, Ricky Porcello. Pretty Ricky. Six innings pitched, one earned run. You're off, Ricky.
Congrats, Rick Porcello. Yeah, good job, man. Yeah, Merrill didn't get a clap for his performance. Ricky does.
All right. Devers, 3 for 12, one double, one home run, one walk. I think it's a off, but you're not getting clapped. Because you wouldn't say you're slumping.
Yeah, this is tough, man. Because, I mean, you didn't take Judge off for his 1 for 5er with those walks. I think there could be a case of Boston's fans saying, hey, we expect more from Rafa. I think he gets off.
Yeah, I think he's off.
All right. Whoa.
Whoa. What's the next one?
Heimer Candelario, my guy, he went on the IL, which I think gets him off.
It's a tricky way to do things, but I think he's off.
You don't get claps. You do get a tip of the hat, though. That's not a bad way to get off slump watch, my man.
No, pretty good. All right, so Candelario's off. Devers is off. Porcello's off. Merrill Kelly's off. David Price did not pitch, but if he wants to add to that great outing by Sale.
Yeah. He's set up
to get off, I believe.
He's got to do your pass the baton starting pitcher. It's on to him now.
Yeah.
So he hangs out for now. He doesn't get in any more trouble. We had the Red Sox on there. Do we take them off, factoring in the Sale game? I mean, they split with the Royals, but...
Factoring in the Sale game? No.
Okay,
Not yet.
Got to win a series to get off.
Yeah, that's always what we've said.
Okay.
Jock Peterson, Jake.
Anyways.
That's the rain out.
This is huge.
Jock Peterson was 0-for in his last series. This series against the Cardinals. 5-for-11, 455 batting average, 500 OBP, 1.318 OPS, one double, one home run. Jake, is this our first official, and I forget who gave us this name, but it's perfect, shame to flame? Did Jock go slump watch to Enfuego?
Yeah, I'm trying to find our guy that said that, because we do have to give them credit, because both of our eyes lit up when we saw this. Yes, almost just because we want to use it so bad, which is fine. But, yeah, Jock Peterson, you go from shame to flame, my man. Excited for you.
Yeah. Good job, Jock.
It was from @Matt_Donnie_ASAP Donnie. So thank you, Donnie. Or Matt Donnie.
ASAP Donnie. We appreciate it. Yeah. Who's next after Jock?
So, Jim, we have Glenn Sparkman on here, which I want to say you and I are going to be on the same page on this. He went 4.1 innings pitched. Four earned runs, three walks, five strikeouts, and a homer. It's not good, but I think, unfortunately, Glenn Sparkman has gone into the other way you get off of slump watch, which is
bad
just
watch.
Not being that good. Yeah, you're on
just
bad watch.
Are the Rockies still on bad watch, or have they worked their way up to slump watch?
No, they got out. They won a series a little while back.
Oh, that's not how they got off slump watch, though. But good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them. All right. Anything else? Who are we adding? There's a lot of additions, right? Dude,
well,
there was a lot of offers this week. I didn't add all of them, but there was a lot. So
we cleared a lot of space, Jim, so we got room for these guys. So I'll let it rip.
Rochner Odor?
Yeah.
And that's a perfect pronunciation, so you can go tell our friends. Rochner Odor? Rochner? It's not Rognid.
That was a joke, my man.
I'm laughing at it. 0-for-13. 15 plate appearances with no hits.
It's not good.
Bad.
It's not good. You're welcome to Slump Watch. So this
next one's interesting. Adani Echevarria.
Your guy, man.
He is a glove. He's a defensive wizard. He's not
one of the more one of the most fun gloves you'll find, by
yes.
the way.
He's great. So because they played 4 games in 3 days, the Mets. He's on the Mets. They used him. He played at second. He played at third. I believe he played at short. Started 3 of the 4 games, Jake. All right. But he didn't get a single hit.
No.
But he's not in there for his bat. He's in there for to spell the guys and be a glove. But he didn't get a single hit. 0 for 12 on the week. He has 2 hits in his last 40 plate appearances. So I don't know. He has 2 hits in his last 14 games. I don't know, Jake, if this is slump watch or just bad with the bat watch.
So, Jim, I think it's both. And I think he goes on slump watch, but he is going to be one of the rare cases. I think 1 hit, he's off. That's how good he is with the leather.
Okay.
So his next hit, he gets off slump watch.
Okay.
Kind of a lot of pressure for a day.
A lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Next up, a guy who's been in Fuego, was in Fuego like 2 weeks running.
This is a big name.
Paul Goldschmidt.
We need a term when like a big fish gets on cold watch.
Caught a big fish.
We caught a big frozen fish.
Big frozen fish.
Okay, there. If you can one-up that, again, tweet at us. It'll get on here.
You can one-up. We caught a big frozen fish. Paul Goldschmidt, dude. Yeah. I mean, he was crushing it earlier, like 6 home runs in 6 games. He's 0 for 14 in this series versus the Dodgers. Cardinals are sliding, and I'm sure him being nothing didn't help. No hits in his last 4 games. Slump watch.
Yeah, Jim, and again, we touched on it quick, man. That Dodgers-Cardinals series was brutal. They had Ozuna up in one of the games with a chance to take the lead, and they just didn't have the heart. In another game, they won nothing, and then they just got beat. So that's brutal for the guards, and yeah, especially when Goldie's not doing it for them. That's tough.
Yeah. And you had some names on here. Who'd you add?
I threw a couple nombres on here, Jim. Jim, this first one, tough. You see I put the words cruel world on there. There's a guy we got so excited about a week ago, Adam Duvall for the Braves. He jumped on in Fuego. Awesome story. Former All-Star. He's buried in the minor leagues. He comes back. He's raking. Jim, the sweet sport of baseball, came back. He is 1 for 17 in his last 4 games. I mean, I'm sorry, Adam. We openly were rooting for you, but you got to go on slump watch, dude.
Just take a moment. Go hang out on slump watch.
It's all right. Like, we're not mad at you, but it's kind of how it has to be.
You are mad at this next guy.
Oh, so mad. I'm not mad at this guy.
You're mad at this. I saw your notes. I saw your diary.
Oh, my God. Oh, my diary. Yeah, Jim, so my next guy, I like throwing a pitcher on here, too, because it's easy to get wrapped up in the offers, the hitters going. Jimmy John Lester. Not Jimmy John Lester. Jimmy, John Lester. Johnny got knocked around. 4 innings pitch, 9 earned run. In his last 4 starts, 35 hits and 22 innings pitched to the tune of a 7-plus ERA. The Cubbies' starting pitching had been pretty strong for them. They've been focusing on trying to get their bullpen right. Johnny Els needs to stop living up to that name. Whackety schmackety doo.
All right, Lester's on slump watch.
Lester on slump watch. Confirmed.
Moving on. What's the next segment, Jake?
Dirt, nasties, and fuego, Jim.
Means on fire, baby. I threw my dude Ivan Nova on here.
This literally is your guy.
Ivan Nova. He had a complete game shutout a little bit ago. He's still doing it, Jake.
Yeah.
I don't know what he dipped into, but he goes 8 innings pitched, 0 earned runs versus Detroit, so maybe that's what he dipped into. But yeah. He was my standout a couple weeks ago for a complete game shutout. in his last four starts. In Ivan Nova's last four starts. Who's he pitching for these days, Jake?
He's pitching for your Chicago White Sox, Jim.
28 innings pitched, 2 earned runs.
Yeah.
On fire.
Which has brought his ERA on the season down to 4.8, so he was kind of having a tough go there for a little while. He's settled down, Jim. He actually, you know, the John Boy stat we're talking about, he had 3 blow-ups in the first month. Since then, he's only had 2, so he's been giving Chicago a chance. I mean, when your ERA heading into May is 8.33, the fact he's at 4.8 now. But yeah, we're excited for the big guy. Jim, his 10th year in Major League Baseball.
Good for him.
It's nuts. It's got me beat.
I remember when he debuted.
Yeah. 2010. Good for Big Ivan. Jim, you got another big guy on here.
Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso had been in a slump since the Home Run Derby. He goes out in this 4 games versus the Marlins. He hits 3 home runs, 357 batting average, 438 on base percentage in the 4 games, 3 home runs. Good job, Pete.
Yeah. In his, like, I'm probably not going to describe this well, Jim. He's got a miss home run swing that at Citi Field is perfect. Like, if he doesn't catch all of it, but he turns on it enough, he's got this kind of line drive, pokey swing that he's big and strong enough that it just gets out at Citi Field. And he had a couple of those this week. And yeah, man, if Big Pete gets it going for him, I mean, Mets fans are going to be out of control.
They already are. He already got it going, and they're already out of control.
I like that.
That's already happened.
Jim, we've got a couple fun names. I'll let you keep rolling with my dude, Ozzie Albies.
Ozzie Albies got to play in the biggest hitter's park in baseball, Target Field, which Minnesota fans are upset because all the park factors say it's not the blah, blah. Watch a game at Target Field. Yeah. I commend any of you guys who have not watched a game in Target Field this summer to go watch a game at Target Field. The ball fucking flies.
Yeah.
Flies. And we had 2 games where there's more than 20 runs scored again.
Yeah. There's a vortex level. Like maybe what's the second level of a stadium called? The mezzanine or?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
the mezzanine level of the Twin Stadium, if the ball gets in that area, it just goes. It's like there's a blower, that whole level. If you hit what would normally be a pop-up in there, it's going to hit a weird piece of wall.
I called it the paper toss. The fans are blowing it out. You just toss it up there and it blows out. And people were like, it's just this Yankee series. It's a weird season. Twins fans got so upset with me. Like, well, I don't think so, guys, because I've watched more highlights. And it just fucking goes. It's crazy. Anyway.
Can I put you on the spot?
Yeah.
Do you like the name Ozzie Albies?
Yeah. Great name.
Okay. Good.
How could I not like the name Ozzie Albies?
I don't know. There's a lot of vowels going on. I didn't know if it was going to be too much for you, but I'm glad you like it.
He's got 2 names to choose from. You call him Ozzie, call him Albie. They're both fun.
Yeah. 2 of the more fun names attached. I thought, so, yeah, the 2, I thought it might have been too much, but I'm glad you're in on it. But what do you even do at Minnesota, Jim?
9-for-16, 2 home runs, 5 RBIs, 563 on base percentage without any walks. Because why would you take a walk when you're playing in a home run factory?
Yeah, got to pad the stats, which, again, we're going to talk about that in a minute. But, yeah, Ozzie, man, his contract, that one's still is mind-boggling. I guess we'll do some of that in the offseason. It's not time for that. But enjoy being hot, Oz.
Yeah.
And Jim, little teaser, industry term. You might hear a little more about Ozzie later. That's just a tease, baby.
I don't even know what you're talking about. What do we got coming up?
You'll see.
I'll find out.
Jim, and the rest of Enfuego, I put Nick Castellanos on there. Jimmy, he's joined the Cubs at the trade deadline from the Tigers. And Jim, he's had a hit in every game since joining the Cubs, 424 batting average, 457 on base, and a 1.3 .336 OPS. And Jim cheating a little bit. They started a series against Cincinnati. He hit two homers last night. So, but Nick Castellanos, Jim, we went before the trade deadline. We went on our big discussion about how big trade deadline pieces can be. Right now, Nicky C is living up to it.
He wasn't officially on Slump Watch, but he is shamed to flame. His six games before getting traded, he had a 0.83 batting average. He had two hits in his last 24 plate appearances when he was before he got traded. And they traded him. He went to the Cubs, and he was like, oh, my God, a winning culture?
Dude, just imagine being on the Tigers as the worst team in baseball and then fans? Going to the Cubs.
Fans? You guys have fans here?
Yeah.
These games matter? Holy shit, am I excited. And he goes off.
And while I'm here, I want to give Cubs fans... Actually, I want to give all baseball fans a little pat on the ass, Jim. I was... After one of the games this week, I was hopping around to the different games that were winding down. I caught the Cubs game winding down. That crowd was awesome in the 6-5 game to start that series where David Phelps closed it out. And then in the Dodgers-Cardinals game where I talked about Ozuna... Paul DeJong made out Ozuna. They couldn't get the rally going. That Dodgers crowd was good. So a little love to some of the fans.
Good job, fans.
Yeah.
And then we have the two Yankees on here.
So this is I had the light bulb go off. It also happened that it was while our Yankees there. But I think we want to put a little asterisk in the En Fuego category, and it's who did the Orioles get hot this week? Because they are on pace to give up the most home runs in baseball history. So, Jim, they did it to two of the biggest names on the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Tauchman. Everyone learn this name, Mike Tauchman, because he's awesome for baseball.
Gio Urshela.
Gio to God.
Mike Tauchman, the Yankees traded. They had a minor league reliever, Philip Deal, had a good spring training, and they flipped him for Mike Tauchman, a 28-year-old or 27-year-old outfielder that was blocked in Colorado system that just lit up AAA but never put it together in the majors with the Rockies. A lot of times it's hard for them to break through because they just get pinch hit appearances when they get called up. Same thing with Luke Voit last year. And then Gio Urshela, the Yankees traded for Gio Urshela for cash considerations from the Blue Jays at the end of last season. Since the All-Star break, Mike Tauchman's OPS is 1.269. Gio Urshela's is 1.283. Mike Tauchman, if you go back to May, has some of the best numbers in baseball, which is not a lie. They just hit the ball hard. And it's been crazy, but the Orioles got everyone hot. If we're doing a new section called Who Did the Orioles Get Hot, it's everyone. I mean, Astros coming to Baltimore now, so like everyone's going to get hot again.
And Jim, over the last 4 days, only two players, and this, again, is skewed from a different series coming up, only two players in baseball have four home runs over the past 4 days, Mike Tauchman and Gio Urshela. Only one player in baseball has two stolen bases or more, and it's Mike Tauchman. And this a little behind the scenes for you guys. We genuinely, truly don't want to be like a Yankees bias / baseball podcast. We've kind of been hiding Mike Tauchman from you guys. He's been awesome. Definitely check him out. And Gio Urshela too. It's been insane. But the Orioles are a total asterisk for the rest of this season.
Tauchman also did rob a home run. I think probably a top five home run robbery this season. I haven't checked all of them, but I would guess it's top five. It was full extension, armpit at the wall, brings it back.
So, yeah, I think that's En Fuego, Jim. I think that brings us to who got mad.
Who got mad?
Who got mad? Speaking of asterisks.
Dude, Chris Davis and Brandon Hyde got mad.
That was great. Did more information come out on that? I didn't get anything.
Nah, our dude, John Mioli, was trying to ask Hyde. I recognized his voice. I DM'd him. I was like, dude, that was you. He didn't want to give you anything. He was like, yeah. Hyde didn't want to talk about it, but it was weird because... So Chris Davis made an error that led to an unearned run scoring on a home run. It wasn't really an error. He didn't make the scoop. And then there was... I missed this in my breakdown, but there was a ball that landed in the first row of foul territory, and Davis didn't even really move for it. So I think Hyde was just like giving him shit, like, what the fuck, man? You're not trying anymore? and Chris Davis snapped back. Then he took Chris Davis out of the game. They're not supposed to win this year, but I don't think they were supposed to be this bad, and I think it's really starting to get to them.
Yeah, and that's the whole Chris Davis dynamic. It went from, oh my God, how are they letting this happen with the hitless streak? And then he got some hits, and he was actually playing good baseball, and it was almost a good story for the Orioles. It was like, this guy who, yeah, he got paid, but guess what? Everyone's been shitting on him for a couple years now because he's been awful, and he's still putting in the work, and he's trying his best. Like, it was almost like there was a nice lesson for the young Orioles players. Now that things are spiraling again, it's not so bueno.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough times. Couldn't figure out anything that was said, or they said they're going to keep it in-house, which they should.
Yeah.
Hyde was like, it's just kind of upsetting that it happened where cameras can catch us. Like, how often does this happen when it doesn't catch? I guess that's what we don't know.
Yipes.
Yeah. And then Vogelbach got ejected.
Danny V, baby.
In a five. He was just chirping from the bench. Quick ejection. Not much going on. But I like Vogelbach because he reminds me of Chris Farley. There's another ejection. I'm blanking on it. Oh, Jared Dyson for the Diamondbacks got ejected.
Nice, Jared. Congrats.
But a lot of them are just... A lot of the ejections are just like so... It was Dyson's first ejection ever in his career. Good job.
Congrats. But, add it to the resume.
Yeah, a lot of these ejections are just like you say something to the ump and ejection.
Boring.
That's basically it. Yep. I didn't do walk-off watch. I'm thinking about scrapping walk-off watch. I don't think it's necessary. I didn't ask your thoughts on that.
Yeah, the only one that jumped out, and maybe it jumps out because I did get to see it live, was the Sano walk-off was really cool.
Oh, yeah. Russell Martin had one as well, but Sano's was a fucking bomb.
Acuna didn't even watch it. He just came walking in from center field. That was really cool.
Yeah. Call-up watch, though, I like.
Call-up watch. Ring, 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 ring.
Bring, bring,
bring.
Would you like to play in the major leagues?
Haven't gotten that call.
Yeah, still waiting. We had a bunch, and I'm just going to run through them kind of quick. You can grab some if you want, Jake, but
yeah.
Patrick Sandoval, he made his debut for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. He was an 11th round pick, young though, 22 years old. I think they used an opener for him. He goes 5 innings pitched, 2 earned runs, 8 Ks. Pretty good. Good job, Patrick Sandoval.
Yeah.
I was looking to see if he faced any big names, but the Reds don't have, like, Votto. He faced Votto.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing I was looking at, I mean, you say the name Sandoval. That's a well-known name in baseball. Doesn't look like he's related, so.
No. Yeah.
From Viejo, Cali, Jim.
Hometown kid, kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Look at that.
Where did I click out of this? Hold on. They were playing the Reds, right? I said that, and then I was worried I got it wrong.
The Angels, yes.
Okay, good. Next up, Kevin Ginkle.
Ginkle, that's a great name.
Ginkle, Diamondbacks. 22nd round draft pick in 2016. He's 25 years old, but this is what I like. His first batter was JT Realmuto. Not a bad first batter to face. Comes out of the pen, I believe. And struck him out. So first batter faced, somewhat of a brand name, strikes him out. The next game, he came in again, gave up a home run to Bryce Harper. So faced another brand name, gives up a home run.
That'll happen, kid. Welcome to the show. Jim, who else we got? Robert Duggar? You think it's Duggar or Duggar?
Duggar.
Duggar, barely know her. And a couple, he's on the Miami Marlins, and the other one who was one of the bigger stories in baseball this week, Eason Diaz? Are we saying that right? We always trash names.
Eason Diaz is how I was told it was said.
And not to one-up Robert Duggar, you please feel free to say what you want. Eason, he went yard while his dad was getting interviewed. And that was a great baseball moment.
Against DeGrom
was his only hit, but again, who cares, baby? because that's awesome. And I think I'm double checking right now, but I'm pretty sure Eason is actually a pretty decent prospect, Jim. There's coming into the season, he was or coming into 2018, he was top 100. His it seems like he's come down a little bit, but he's supposed to be a middle infielder guy that's got some good talent.
Well, he got called up. He started all four games against the Mets. He did go 1-for-15 with 7 Ks. The one home run was off DeGrom with his dad yelling on TV. But I think he batted second in the batting order. So I was looking at that. I was like, oh, this dude must be have some promise.
Yeah. And he was one of the big, I think he was technically the biggest piece at the time in the Christian Yelich trade, Jim. It was him, Yamamoto, and Lewis Brinson.
Yamamoto.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next one is Devin Williams. The Brewers called him up. Second round pick from 2013, 24 years old. He 1.2 innings pitched, 3 hits, 2 runs, 0 earned runs, though. Error by the third baseman.
Come on. Come on, 3B. Pick it, kid. Making my debut here.
Devin. Yeah, right? Devon Williams.
Devin Williams. Well, so welcome to the show, guys.
Yeah. You going to give out some awards?
Jim, I think it is time for awards. You're up first, Jim, and I love the action you got going on here.
Yeah. My award is the It Ain't Me, It Ain't Me, I Ain't No Fortunate Son.
Oh, it ain't me, it ain't me.
I ain't no billionaire, son. I know most baseball fans know about this, but if there is some that don't, they need to be informed. The Blue Jays have 3 players whose dads were MLB players. Bichette, Guerrero, Biggio.
Good MLB players, too.
Good MLB players.
Yeah.
And they're in the Guerrero... who has a brother who's an MLB player. Those were their top 4 in their last game.
Gurriel.
Yeah, Gurriel. Yuli's brother.
That Gurriel-Guerrero combo, 3-4 in the Blue Jays lineup, is tough to say those both without thinking of the other name.
Yes. So, but it's just nuts. Think about that. And I thought maybe, like, real quick, Jake, choose 3 players that are playing now and then their sons, form a sons team.
Ooh. A Suns team that I want to see 20 years from now or whatever.
Yep.
Okay. Puig jumps out.
Wow, that's a great call. Puig's son. Yeah, okay. I like it.
Yeah. Gonna need another Puig. Oh.
See, I thought Trout, but you can't. That's like Wayne Gretzky's son. There's just no hope. There's no hope. They're Michael Jordan's son. They're just too good.
You can't follow that. God, I do love Yamamoto. I don't know, CC, we kind of talked about that the other day and we know he's a prospect.
Yep.
Like if CC has a son that comes in with CC's size and like build and stuff, that would be really cool.
That would. Yeah, like even Pudge Rodriguez's son was with the Giants for a little bit. Yo, Jose Altuve. I want to see Jose Altuve in the league.
Oh, okay. That's a good pick.
I want him to be the same height as Altuve.
Okay, I like that. I might. This is kind of a cheap pick.
Nope. I want Altuve's son to be a Giant.
Oh, okay.
I want him to be like 6'2".
Yeah. It's just a beast.
Yeah.
6'3", 240.
All right, those are our 2. And then we'll come up with 3rd. Altuve's son, Puig's son.
So I've got a cop out, but I really like it. Give me Vlad Guerrero III, baby.
Okay.
Dude, what about just like every Guerrero son is just a freak great baseball player?
It's like the Matthews for baseball.
Teams start just like budgeting in their future.
I had someone else I was thinking of. I forget now.
Do the Boones have a kid? Does Aaron or Brett have sons that are playing baseball?
Boone has 3 sons. 2 are adopted. I don't know if that matters in this world.
Right. because they're the current grandpa legacy family in baseball, right?
You mean like, does Matsui or Ichiro have a son?
Ooh, Ichiro is a great one.
That's our three then. Ichiro, Altuve, and Puig. We need all three of those sons on a lineup together.
Dude, Ichiro to Ichiro Jr. is a great comparison, Vlad Sr. to Vlad Jr. Like, that would be really fun.
Does Ichiro have, does he have any kids?
I mean, he's already very kinda fertile and ready to go if he needs to.
All right, so that's my award. I just needed people to know that the Blue Jays have three major league sons, very good players at the top of their order.
Yeah. And Jim, my award I'm giving out, and it's along a similar theme, kind of. I'm giving out the Going Up Top Award.
Going Up Top.
Going Up Top Award. And Jim, if you've been paying attention, this, what team did I say I'm giving into this episode?
The Braves.
The Atlanta Braves. Who did I tell you I was going to be talking about in a little bit in En Fuego?
Ichiro's son.
Ichiro's future son. Ozzie Albies. Jim, in the Going Up Top Award, there's a couple play on words here. Preseason football came back. People were excited about that. Guess what, people? We still got great baseball going on. You could come around to football later. Jim, the Atlanta Braves in that top of the order. I saw you were going triple award with the Suns. Dude, I wanted to give some more love, man. Ozzie Albies, Ronald Acuna, and Freddie Freeman. I've bought into this Braves team right now. I have four tier one teams, two from each conference. Conference, who calls it that, Jake? It's a baseball show. Yanks and Houston in the AL, Braves and Dodgers in the NL for me right now. And Jim, something that was so special about that Red Sox team from last year was the top three of that order. You were hoping to get through them, only giving up a run. That was a win. If you got through Betts, Benintendi, and JD Martinez last year, only giving up a run, that was a win. And dude, right now, man, Atlanta has that going, and that's got to be one of the biggest strengths of this team. And I'm leaving out my bringer of rain, Josh Donaldson, and even young, thick Austin Riley, your dude who's on the IL right now. But Jim, if you got to go Albies, Acuna, Freeman to start every game, and then you're going to see them probably three more times, that's vicious, and that has an effect on a pitching staff. And that's just kind of my rounding this off, giving the Braves love and giving those young guys some love. And they all went nuts this in Minnesota, which we have a mini asterisk on, but still the Twins.
Going on up to the east side. Good
to
award,
the
Jake.
East side.
We both gave out multiple awards. You
finally
did mine.
Got a piece.
You did mine because you did yours because you knew mine, correct?
Yeah, and I think you and I have run into this qualm on talking Yanks because we don't want to, but that's limited to 25 guys we can give awards to, basically. Here, we're within all of baseball, so if it makes sense, I think it's kosher.
Parentheses, it's kind of just whatever we want to talk about.
We could do whatever.
It's our show, so shut up.
No rules.
There's no rules. There's one rule.
No rules is so good. Haven't said that in a long time.
Yeah. Next up.
Everyone's favorite segment.
Talking about going on up. It's the elevator talk.
Segway.
Elevator talk. Everyone's favorite segment, we think. I have no idea. We don't really poll the audience that much.
It's our favorite segment. It was our favorite segment coming in. Do people like elevator talk? I think they do. Let's rip it, Jim.
Here we go. We're spinning the wheel.
If you were elevator caught in
talk.
The elevator with...
Ooh, the Angels.
Ooh, okay.
Make my brother-in-law, Brett, upset. He is an Angels fan. He tells me they're a weird team. They'll go on hot streaks and losing streaks like crazy. They're on a losing streak right now. That's pretty wild. A team that has been dealt some heartache and tragedy this season.
Yeah.
But they still have like a lot of talent. Jake, they've currently lost 7 in a row. The Angels have lost 7 in a row, and wow, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, they're 2-11 in their last 13 games. 2-11.
Yeah, that's tough. I think if you're in the elevator with this Angels fan, you know, you obviously go, love watching Trout play, huh? Like, you start there. You know, that's how you ease in.
Love to get Trout a title. That's basically what it is.
Yeah.
And that's not even Angels fans.
Next
that's
year, Ohtani. Next.
Yeah. Don't you think all of baseball fans were like, I'd love to get Trout a title?
Yeah. And Jim, I guess the big thing they have, and you know, you give them a like, hey, you know, get hot. Let's contest that wild card. It's not happening. Jim, next year Ohtani is going to pitch again. That's going to be wildly fun. And he's still a blast to watch at the dish. So you go there. You give Cole Calhoun a little love. You're like, man, is that guy a gamer or what? His stats aren't all that flashy. What do we got going on with the pitching, Jim? Jesus. I mean, that's where you go. You tell the Angels fan, you're like, yeah, man, I just don't know if we're going anywhere until we get a couple arms in-house. Because their pitching is atrocious.
Yeah. They've been struggling to replace LaStella. LaStella broke his leg. He was doing really well. So who's been replacing them? Rengifo? I don't know how you say that name.
And Gifo, I think it said. Someone yelled at me for that.
Is he the replacement? And Theis. They called up Theis, so no, he's mostly third base.
Yeah.
So hey, I wonder how much they put that into play with like the pitch with the LaStella going down. Is that that shakes
things? Jim,
that should not be what shakes things up.
You remember, I think there was some point when we were, Justin Upton had just come up for them, and we were excited for that. He's 31. He's having a brutal year. He's only 125 at-bats in, and he jumped, you know, one of my favorite phrases I heard this year was, if you're hurt coming into a season, it's like trying to jump onto a moving train. So maybe he's about to get it going. But, I mean, he's a guy who makes a lot of coin, Jim. He's making 18 mil this year, 21 mil next, 23 in 2021, and 2022 he's making 28 mil. So there's some guys on this team just getting paid that might be giving you negative performance. If you're talking about him, Pujols potentially.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of sad because you look at their starting pitchers, Jake, and Tyler Skaggs had the most starts, and he passed away in the middle of the season. Matt Harvey had 12 starts. He was a big plan, and he's been DFA'd. Ohtani couldn't pitch because of the Tommy John surgery. So their strategy, I mean, they didn't really, they were limited. The Skaggs news hurts them, but that's a much worse thing than a baseball outcome situation.
Yeah, and that's brutal.
Listen to their last starters. Cole Pena, Berrio, Cole Suarez, Peters. Like, who are these guys?
Yeah, I mean, Suarez has 10 starts to a 6.22 ERA. Cahill, 11, 6.28. Harvey was 12, 7.09. I mean, that's not even close to acceptable. I don't know. So the elevator has clearly gone sour while you're talking to your Angels fan. My ending line with Angels fans right now is that if they don't figure it out in the next 2 years, that kids are going to look back at Baseball Reference, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, and say, how did Mike Trout and Albert Pujols play together for a decade and not win a single playoff game?
Yeah. They have decent offense, man. I mean, like, Brian Goodwin's having a good season. Is he hurt right now?
Yeah, he turned it around. I think they got him from Kansas City, and he's figured something out, so that's good.
He's got an 825 OPS and a 116 OPS plus. Like, he's been good right now. And then,
nice
obviously, Trout's
too.
Good. Otani's got an 864 OPS. LaStella was doing good. Calhoun is having a pretty good season for Cole Calhoun, and he's a lot of fun.
Zach Cozart, some bad money for them, too. I don't know. I'm probably getting off the elevator and
you're out
hiding.
You're off the elevator. I was gonna see who they traded Goodwin for. He was selected off waivers by the Royals. So that's a good pickup.
Good snag.
Job. What's that?
Good snag.
Good snag. Yeah, that's what you're telling the Orioles to start doing.
Who? Yeah.
All right. Sorry, Angels fans.
Sorry, Angels.
I still think like next year should be a winnable season with Otani pitching. You got to get some more pitchers.
Houston, Jim.
Yeah, but wild card. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Houston loses Cole.
Maybe. Yeah, they're going to sign Wheeler, though.
They're definitely going to sign. They're committed to winning over in Houston. So
I want to announce this on today's episode. Zach Wheeler signs with the Houston Astros.
Wow, that's huge news.
Yeah.
Everyone, credit at Talkin' Jake, please.
At Talkin' Jake, send it over, baby.
Send it over. All right, that ends this show. Thank you guys very much. If you enjoyed it, please rate, subscribe, review. If you're listening on the iTunes podcast app on your iPhone, they redid the category. So now there's just a baseball category, and I was late to figure out how to get us into that category, but I think when this episode drops, we'll be in it. I'd love to make a push, so if you want to support us, you know, just subscribe, unsubscribe, subscribe, rate, review, rate again, rate again, rate again. Let's just for one day, I just want to jump up the rankings, then I don't care anymore. I just want to get up there for one day, screenshot it, then act like that's the screenshot forever. Good strategy?
Great.
Great. All right. Thanks, guys. We will see you on Monday. Talking baseball.